I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles 22:5. 1 Chronicles. I'm already in 2 Chronicles when I shouldn't be there. 1 Chronicles 22:5. I'm always amazed at how people pick at me because I'm short. But I try to be a blessing anyway. All right? And I'm reminded of Brother Robles and his wife. I was telling him the other day, they were standing there singing. His wife is taller than he is. My wife is taller than I am. But I remember 20 years ago, we were in their same shoes. Starting out, and God has been so faithful to us. And because of people like you, we've had the opportunity to now serve on the field for the past 18 years. And we've been able to see, and I'm going to give a little more testimony in the morning worship hour. We've been able to see 11 churches planted. We've been able to see 14 young men trained for the ministry. And of those 11 churches, 3 are now planted, 3 more churches. So we're excited about that, a total of 14 churches. When I go back this time, in fact, if all things go well, I had the young men text me just now, Pastor, can you call me? I said, no, I'm in a missions conference, I can't call. We're working on another one in the state of Manipur. It's among the Meitei people, which is the high caste people, to start a new church among those people this coming June. All right, I'm going over in July, and I'm going to be going to that state, visiting, and just seeing what the Lord would have us to do. We've been training these guys, and we're excited what God has been doing. And so we've already got one church among those people, and we've got 2 churches among a couple other tribes. But God is so faithful, but because of your prayers. And if I remember correctly, the church was started here in 2004. Is that right? We came here 2 years later, 2006, and you have been faithfully supporting our family. And my wife conveys her greetings this morning. I talked to her this morning. We had a word of prayer. And she said, please tell the people, sorry I could not come, but I do wish, and she is praying for you. All right, so thank you. 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5. The word of God tells us, and David said to Solomon, my son, sorry, where am I at here? 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 5. Why am I all messed up this morning? All right. 22, verse 5. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. It was in my mind to do. Now I want you to turn over to 2 Chronicles. All right. They're all cool. If you go to 2 Samuel, you'll see it. You'll see it in Kings. And I'm getting my verses mixed up because all of them relate. And I read every one of these verses this morning. 2 Chronicles now. And see if I can get the right verse. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be. There's a word there I'm going to focus on today. Exceeding magnifical. Only time used in the word to describe. Magnifical. For the Lord must be exceeding magnifical of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. David prepared. Today I want to bring to the message, what is missions? We looked on Friday night, missions is people. People in need, people who are hurting, people who are suffering. But also it's a people with a vision, people who are going forth. We've been commanded to go. God did not give the commission to angels, amen? He didn't give it to the mountains or the trees. They proclaim his name. He did not give it to the birds. He gave it to mankind. And that is the reason we're talking about missions as being a people. But the second part we saw as missions is God's purpose. It's an eternal, unchanging purpose. What was that purpose? To fellowship with mankind. Okay? Not only fellowship, but to redeem mankind when man fell away from sin. That is missions. The heart of God. I use the word the heartbeat of God. Missions is that desire of God to fellowship with a fallen man. His creation. But today I want to look at missions is preparation. And so we're looking at that thought. Missions is a preparation. If you go back to 2 Samuel, you're going to see David had a heart to build. His house had been built. He had rest from his enemies. And he thought, you know, the house of God is still intent. It's still mobile. I want to build something for the glory of God. Hunt Valley Baptist Church, I want to ask you today, what do you want to build? What do you want to prepare for? Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for the moments you've given us this morning. We praise you because you are good. This is the day you have created. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for that. Thank you for each one who's taken time to come, to hear your word, to worship, because you alone are worthy. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the members. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for the leadership. And I pray, dear God, as this conference finishes up today, we ask your Holy Spirit will continue to challenge and work in hearts. And Lord, I pray for that sinner that doesn't know Jesus. Today might be the day of salvation. We'll be careful to give Jesus all the glory. For his precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Solomon, God gave me a burden. I had in my mind to do something. Then he says, in 2 Samuel, in 1 Kings, he also says, in chapter 6, I couldn't do it. God told me I was a man of war. I had shed blood. And therefore, I was not worthy to build him a house. You see, so often we have a desire, right? David had the right heart, the right desire. But God changed the plan. Remember we talked eternal purpose of God? Sometimes it's not through us. We just lay the groundwork. You know, sometimes we go out witnessing and that person doesn't get saved. You know what? God used you to plant a seed. God may send somebody else to glean the harvest, to bring that soul to Christ. We have to be flexible in that respect. Always knowing God's eternal plan and purpose will never change, but he uses us in spite of everything. And so today I want to look at the thought of preparation. Prepare with the heart. Preparing is always a matter of the mind and heart. If I prepare with heart, I will complete the task. Please remember that. The task is great. How great is it? I tell people, and I just preached a missions conference over in India, I said the greatest work on earth is missions. It's the greatest calling you'll ever have. It's the greatest work you have been bestowed. Don't get yourself involved in your career, in your programs, in your family, and all these things. Why? God's greatest task is for us to be involved in reaching the lost. Why? Ultimately, it brings glory to the Savior. David used an amazing word. Magnifical. How great is God's work? That's right, magnifical. I looked it up in the word, and guess what? No commentators have a word on it. But I understood that to be magnificent. Awesome. Beyond words. You see, David says, I've got a mind to do something. Solomon, I want you to build it so it's great. You read 1 Kings, he said, because our God is great. He's the only God that the nations might know. Our God is great. What are we preparing for? If we prepare with the heart, the people will know our God is great. Preparation. It requires that I get my heart in tune with him, walking with him, in step with him. Why? Because that's God's ultimate purpose, is fellowship with God. That comes back to one simple question. Is your heart right with God? Preparation of the heart. Have we prepared our heart for this great work? Secondly, prepare with your might. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. Mm-hmm. That means you're giving all your focus, your attention on it. Mm-hmm. Great power. So often we do things half-heartedly, absent-mindedly. You heard those terms, right? Mm-hmm. Let's focus with all our might on God's great work. David said, I'm preparing with everything. And if you read 2 Chronicles, and if you read 1 Kings, you'll understand David began to set aside of his own provision, the Bible says, of his own house. He says, I've given 10,000 of talents of gold. I've given this many talents of silver. Why? I did it with my might. I gave my full attention to it. Well, I hope my faith promise comes in. Did you give it with all your might? Did you focus on it? Or is it just an absent-minded thing you hope it comes in? I heard an old preacher say, you probably know Brother Winstead. He used to say, Lord, what will you give through me that you will not give to me? That's what missions is about. That's what faith promise is about. God using us to flow through our hands some for something greater. He's just using us as weak vessels. What will you give through me that you will not give to me? Hannah prayed that, right? Lord, if you give to me, I'll give to you. That's the idea of faith promise. Doing with all our might. Then it's something else. Prepare with armor. Prepare with an armor. You see, Christian, we have to put on the whole armor. Because guess what? And I have taught this, and we started our church in 2006. In March of 2007, I did a mission conference in our church, Grace Baptist Church in India. And I said, as soon as you focus on missions, guess what? Satan pulls his double barrel out. He's not let you go easy. There will always be a hindrance for missions. There's always an opposition. We have to put on the whole armor. Why? God's work is great. It's powerful. It's got to be magnifical. But guess what? Satan wants to hinder us. He wants to wound you in the battle. He wants to put you out of commission. That brother thought yesterday he was going to go out of commission. Uh-huh. His heart rate went up to 160. That thing began to call 911. You see, Satan always does that. And I've learned something else. I don't know if this is true, brother. I've seen a lot of people, men, women in the ministry. And guess what? They're the ones with a lot of physical problems. Mm-hmm. We've got to overcome. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's right. Learn to overcome when we put on the full armor. Prepare with armor. Don't take it lightly. Oh, yeah, let's get involved in mission. Let's have a heyday. No, wait a minute. Prepare with armor, with humility. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not division, amen? Peace. So, yes, there has to be that armor. And also, Nehemiah, if you remember, he had a work crew. Remember that? I love the story of Nehemiah, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. But when they went to work, guess what? They had opposition, didn't they? He sent some people up on the wall for security. But he also put something in their hand. What was it? That's right. He put a sword in their hand. That's right. Not only a sword with one hand, what were they doing with the other hand? Mm-hmm. They were working, right? They had a tool. I like the word trowel. They had that machine that was take care of that cement, right? But they also had a song in the heart. The workers had a song. Amen? They had a song. David writes about that. The psalmist writes about it. We have a song in our heart. We have a new song. When we put on the armor, it's not only on the outside, but everything starts on the inside with joy. Are you doing God's work with a full armor? Joy in the heart. Everything else that's required in the assembly. Well, let's keep going. My time's running out. Prepare abundantly. David said, I prepared abundantly. Pastor came over to India last November. Stayed with us till December 1st, 2nd, something like that. And They gave me a book on finance. I'd never read the book. So in the next couple of weeks, I read the book. Great book. Dave Ramsey's book on finance. So I was talking to a couple of our guys over there, a couple of married men. They're having a struggle with finances. I said, it might be good if I teach this. So I sat down in January and I read it again. And it was a great book. You know what I did? One thing came to my mind. He puts it in there. He says, we save for emergencies, right? What else do we save for? I forget the second one. What was that second one? There's a savings, there's an emergency. But then he's put on that thought to be a blessing to others. To be a blessing. When I brought that out to our people, I said, you know what? A lot of us fail to be a blessing to others because we fail to take stock what we have. God's blessed us abundantly. Amen? We can't deny that. I mean, I've been blessed abundantly. And one of the prayers I have, I said, God, use my family to bless others. To bless others. We see children who cannot see. We see children who cannot walk. We see children with heart problems. What do? We reach out a hand to help them, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement. But you know what? If we're not careful with our finances, we're always in the bind. You know what I'm saying? We're the ones in debt. And I made a focus in 2017. Lord, I want to be out of debt in 2018. And God allowed us to do it. We have only one payment. That's the vehicle payment. Okay? I just focused because I want to be a blessing to other people. I want to be an encouragement to others. That's before I got the book. It's just one of the challenges I have in my life, that I want to be an encouragement to others. David fought a war. David had problems in his family, if you remember. David ran for his life. David lived in two cities, 7 years in one place, 33 years in another place. But you know what? When it came to the work of God, what did he do? He prepared abundantly. We have to focus on that. Preparing abundantly. That involves giving, right? That involves sacrifice. I have a good friend of mine. He's in Illinois. He's a Mason. And a top Mason. He's a finisher. And so he's got two boys. Didn't come to Christ until he was married. The boys were already teenagers living a rebellious life. He was a drunkard. Came to Christ. And he came to this realization really quick. That is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. How many know that verse? But my God shall supply all your needs, right? According to what? Obamacare? Huh? No. According to Trump administration? No. No. According to the society? No. According to his riches, glory. Amen? It's his riches. And he came to understand that, and I did this too when I was very young. I came to understand something. That is, my God supplies every need. So why do we work? Why do we work? Why do we labor? So we can be a blessing to others. My God supplies my needs, but I take extra work so I can be a blessing to others. I come home on furlough. You know what I do? I go find a job. You know why? Because I know God's going to pay my bills. You know what I do? I send that money back to India to a missionary. I love meeting these new missionaries. These young guys are starting out, amen. I want to be an encouragement to them. Okay? And every missions conference my wife and I attend, you know what we do? We try to be a blessing to the missionaries. Why? God supplies our needs. And the more we give, the more God gives. As our preacher has been preaching this week, no? You cannot give God. We have to prepare abundantly. Why? God's work is abundant. God's work is great. It's the greatest commission on earth. But lastly, I want you to think about something else. We're going to finish up here real quickly. Prepare abundantly, that means prepare to give. Isn't that right? If I prepare abundantly, taking stock of my own life, my own finances, my own family, where I'm living, I can prepare abundantly. And guess what? I can prepare to give. The New Testament is full of this. I don't have time to go into that. You start reading 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, right? You're going to understand God's plan for giving. You understand when you read Philippians chapter 4, they communicated with Paul to give. We have to prepare to give. But lastly, prepare. And I got a couple of other points. If time giving, I'll get into them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. I like this one. This is what we do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. What's he say? Prepared unto every good work. Can I tell you, dear Christian, we have a good work before us. Are you prepared for it? Huh? Missions is preparation. It doesn't happen. It's not an accident. It's not just the pastor's vision. Amen? It's God's people prepared for a good work. Are we prepared to go forward this year? It's a great work. It's the highest calling. It's a magnificent work. David said, I'm going to prepare with all my might. And I'm going to prepare abundantly. I can't build it. Amen? Guess what? You can't go to the foreign field. You understand my point? It's not us who's building. All we're doing is preparing for others to go. Preparing so others can reach. Prepare so others can train. I like that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. What's he say? The things that have been committed to us, we commit to others. My pastor instilled that in me. So, young man, what you've been taught here, you go and teach it to others. That is what missions is about. Preparing others to do the same work. You see, that's called discipleship, amen? Isn't that part of the Great Commission? Go ye therefore into all the world. What's that first word? That's right. Preach, teach, and disciple. Are we doing that work? You see, we have to prepare others, teach others. I still got a few minutes, don't I? All right, let's go for another one. Prepare to witness. What are we witnessing about? And we talked about this yesterday. I'm going to try to get that handout that I taught yesterday and give it to you, preacher. You can put it into people's hands. Okay? The thought of witnessing, that is the purpose of preparing others. Every time you witness to somebody, you're sharing the good news of Christ. You're sharing the greatest news on earth. You're sharing the greatest story ever told. Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, the Almighty Son, came to this world to restore a fallen man back to a righteous God. God is so good, so awesome, so wonderful. Other cultures don't understand it. Many people misunderstand it. Many people don't even respect it. But we keep on being a witness. Are you prepared to witness? There's a lot of things under preparing to be a witness. I'm not going to go into it. Then also, he says, I want you to turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 40. And I think this should behoove us. This should warn us. This should put us on guard. This should cause us to be ready. Prepare. Look what he says. Be therefore ready, amen? Also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Look at down verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you hear that word? The Lord's will, right? Mm-hmm. And prepared not himself. Luke chapter 12, verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Wow. The Lord's will, we have to be prepared for it. Amen. It's the greatest work on earth. And I will never stop saying it. Amen. I'm convinced it is. I've given my life. The Indian people are always amazed when they hear our testimony of what God's done. I said, did you have a job in America, sir? I said, yes, I did. I had two jobs before I went to college and a job when I was in college. I did a lot of tree work in college. Countries, landscaping, driving truck. But you know what? That does not compare to seeing one soul come to Christ. Nothing compares. You can have the best job. You can have the best position. You can have the best retirement plan in the world. But you know what? Mine's out of this world. Mine's out of this world. Greater than any company on earth can plan. Why? I'm prepared for his coming. Are you prepared for his coming? The work is great. The time is now. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the work? Are you preparing your heart, your mind, your family, your finances for God's work? Are preparing, you see, when it comes to the family, guess what? We have to prepare them to serve. I'm finding many people prepare their children for greater jobs. Mm-hmm. Better education. And I told my kids, I don't care if you don't get any education as long as you serve God. As long as you serve God. And young people have, and my oldest one, I want you to pray for her. She's got lost her focus. Mm-hmm. It happens to all the best of us, right? And to others too, right? Uh-huh. It happens. And I remember those days. I lost my focus. I walked in the world for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Anybody else do that? You know what I'm talking about? Pray for Alyssa, will you? God, get a hold of her heart. She'll gain her focus and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. With all her heart, mind, soul, she'll fall in love with the Savior. That's what I want you to do. I want you to close on this thought. Isaiah 64, verse 4. Isaiah 64, verse 4. Missions. It's about people. It's God's eternal purpose. But it's that preparation of the heart and mind to do a great work. Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Sound familiar to what Paul said? That's right. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. That's right. The Lord is preparing a place for us, amen? We're not to be here preparing a place on earth for us. Why? God's already prepared a place for us. Missions is preparation. What are we really preparing for? What is it we focused on? What is it we are really building for? God says, I've got something prepared for you. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. Since the beginning of the world, no man has been able to describe it. Why? I found that one word in 2 Chronicles. Magnifical. Amen? 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 That makes me want to shout. That makes me want to jump up and down. All right? I'm a little sore from yesterday, so I'm not going to jump today. Huh? But our God is so great. His work is magnificent. Let's get involved in it, amen? Let's prepare our hearts and minds. And as we go from this hour into the next hour, let's bow our heads and worship and ask God to prepare hearts to hear this word. Amen? Let's pray. Is your heart prepared? Have you put on the whole armor? Knowing when you get involved in such a great work, Satan will hinder.
Satan will oppose. Is your family prepared? Are your finances prepared? As I preached yesterday, prayer is the greatest weapon we have. Nothing greater than prayer. Let's prepare for the greatest mission on earth, a magnificent work. It's called the Great Commission. Our Father, we thank you once again for your word. Challenge our hearts, encourage our spirits, and precious Lord, prepare us to go to the battle, to the mission field, to be involved, to give, to build, to armor ourselves. And precious God, knowing that you're coming soon, that we do your will. And Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your greatness. Thank you for your goodness. Bless this hour and the hour to come. May Jesus Christ be magnified. For it's in precious name I pray. Amen.